A reading from the book of Samuel. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, took the provisions, and went as Jesse had commanded them. He came to the encampment as the army was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, ran to the ranks, and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard them. All the Israelites, when they saw the man, fled from him and were very much afraid. The Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. The king will greatly enrich the man who kills him and will give him his daughter and make his family free in Israel." David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." The word of the Lord. Psalm 35 shall be read in unison. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who would fight against me. Take hold of the shield and the buckler, and rise up to help me. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, "I am your salvation." Then my soul shall rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his deliverance. And my bones shall say, "O Lord, who is like you? You deliver the weak from those too strong for them, the weak and the needy from those who despoil them." The second reading is from Samuel. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who has saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Paul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor and tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the shepherd's bag, in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, for whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by a sword and a spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand on the bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, striking down the Philistine and killing him. There was no sword in David's hand. The word of the Lord.
Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You can sort of understand why that story doesn't get preached on very often in church. First of all, we had to split it into two lessons. Second of all, it's a little bit violent, isn't it? And we share this with our kids, don't we? This is a kid story, we think. Read around it in your Bibles at home. You'll see that we actually cut out some of the bloodier stuff this morning. But giant slaying. Giant slaying. I mean, doesn't that sound like something we might need to know about? Anybody here facing any giants in life? Okay, I see a few people willing to raise hands. All right. Well, the first step in slaying giants is identifying what a giant really is. And that might seem kind of obvious. I mean, a giant is big. It's huge. It's scary. It's strong. You can't fight it. Cancer. Cancer's a giant. Getting laid off. Now there's a Goliath. When you and your spouse are looking at each other late in the night, and neither one of you thinks you can keep things together much longer, there is a giant in the room. We know what giants are, right? We've seen them. Except, it's not always that clear. We've seen people accept fatal diagnoses with peace. We know stories of people who fail at their jobs only to then rebound and get launched in the direction they were always supposed to go in. We've also seen people face what look to us to be just the minor speed bumps on life's road, only to crash into pieces. It's not always so clear and simple to identify a real giant. But David shows us how. And he says it several times throughout those two lessons. Goliath defies the power of the living God. Goliath makes the people of Israel doubt that the Lord is strong enough to protect them. That's the real evil. That's the real power of giants. Whatever it is that makes you feel like God can't sustain you, or that maybe God doesn't even care enough to make the effort for you, that is the Goliath in your life. So the question for us in life's battlefields is not, what is bigger out there than I can handle? But rather, the question to find the giant is, what are you facing that makes you feel like God might not be able to handle it? What is making you wonder if God really cares for you or if God's way really is the best way for you. That is the Goliath in your life. And so maybe it's not my relationships are a mess. Maybe it's I can't admit, I can't face my own faults in how my relationships are breaking. Maybe the Goliath isn't I lost my job, but instead I don't think I'm worth anything without that title or paycheck. See, the truth is the giants aren't really out there. The giants are in here. Your Goliath might be an addiction. He might be a voice from years ago that keeps on speaking in your head, telling you you're no good. It might be a pattern of sin or dysfunction that you just can't break. Those are the real giants. They are what turns an obstacle in life into a fearsome, paralyze you in your tracks, make you quake in your boots, Goliath. That's the real fight. See, when we're facing something, the battle isn't usually the battle. What does that mean? It means when you're in a fight with someone, let's say, the real enemy isn't the person you're in a fight with. The real enemy is the power of sin that divides the two of you. When you're facing an illness, disease isn't the root problem. No, the real enemy is the fear and the feeling of powerlessness. Those are the giants. So how did David do it? How did David walk up to Goliath, what no other soldier could do? Well, we read, he didn't fight in the normal way. See, he knew the real battle wasn't against a big Philistine, but against a big fear. And so he doesn't try to fit into the mold of a Saul, the warrior king. Now, the armor, the sword, it doesn't fit him. It doesn't work. Now, later in life, David would follow in Saul's violent ways. And later in David's life, the Lord would tell him, "No, David, because of the blood on your hands, you cannot build the Jerusalem temple." But before that, here as a youth, David knew he had to fight like a shepherd. Not like a warrior, using the sling, a shepherd's weapon. And he knew to approach the battle in faith, because even if it was his hand that was launching the rock, it was only God's power that would give him the victory. Now, you may very well have a feeling as to where you think this is going. Be like David, right? Use the strengths that God has given you. Trust in God and not in your own power, right? You can see where this is going. Well, there is some truth to that. But that's not the Christian way to read it. That is not how we will find Jesus in this story. See, here's a key lesson for today. And if you don't get anything else out of today's sermon, remember this. If you read the Bible in a way that expects you to become the hero, you're reading it wrong. The hero of the story is always Jesus, not you. So yes, David can be a model for us, but before he can be an example for us, he first has to be a sign for us, pointing us to Jesus. And if you read the New Testament, you'll see this. The New Testament paints Jesus as the fulfillment of all of David's promises. He's the true king of David's line. And the New Testament shows us that while David went from being a shepherd to being a warrior king, Jesus took a different direction. He conquered both sin and death, but he always remained a good shepherd. Never a warrior in the human sense. See, if the real giants are our fears and our failures and our doubts, if the real battle isn't against other people or against life circumstances, but is against the powers of sin and death, then we can try to be like David all we want, but the real victory will be beyond us. That's above our pay grade. We don't need a role model or a coach. We need a savior. We need someone who can conquer sin and defeat death and restore us to life and peace and faith. And that is Jesus. When you face the guilt of your sin, Jesus has already defeated that Goliath with mercy. When the fear of death is screaming in your ears, Jesus has already beaten the grave. When you are convinced that the absolute worst thing that could happen is about to cave in on you, Jesus doesn't promise you an easy road. But he does tell you that you can walk even through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, for he is with you. And when you feel alone or abandoned, Jesus has already stepped out of heaven to be near you and breathed his Holy Spirit right into your soul. When the Goliath of your failures is right in front of your face, Jesus knocks him to the ground by saying that nothing can ever take away your value or your worth in his sight. Jesus has already beaten the giants, all of them. He's the real hero in life story. And so now you can walk bravely. You can stand courageously in the face of all the screaming giants. You can leave behind Saul's way of fighting, not just with a literal sword and armor, but Saul's way can mean words that wound, walls that shut others out, or just a bold determination that you're going to get your way no matter what. Let all that stuff fall to the ground. It won't work anyway. Jesus has beaten whatever is facing you. And he gives you peace, forgiveness, joy and self-control and love like smooth stones that you can carry in a pouch. So use them. Share them with others. And you'll see giants falling left and right. And the world will know that there is a God, and his name is Jesus. And all the Goliaths of fear and shame and guilt and sin and death don't stand a chance against people who walk in Christ's power. Amen.